Good evening and welcome to the call. This is Kay Spooner and this is Get Started, Go Deeper, Ask a Healing Codes Coach. Today where I am in the U.S., it is November 14th, 2019, and this call is for the purpose of answering questions that might be in the way of your using healing codes effectively. Let me read the disclaimer. Tonight's session of Whole Life Healing Q&A is for informational and educational purposes only. What you hear from me are my opinions. The healing codes and trilogy and the other products from Dr. Alex are not intended to diagnose or treat any physical or mental condition or their symptoms. So if you have a condition that needs medical attention, please seek out a trusted medical professional. The healing codes deals with issues of the heart, and it's on those spiritual issues that we focus our attention. So, now I've done a whole lot of talking about introductory stuff, so I don't want to really do all that again, but I will. Let's get ourselves here and together, and those of us who have hung on, and I appreciate you, we will do a set of trilogy, a trilogy process together, and I'll walk us through it. I'll try to give enough description, so if you're not familiar with it, you can do it. If you are familiar with it, you can just go right on and pretend I'm not talking all the time. And we'll do this together. So think of whatever it is that's interrupting your peace right now, that's most in the way of your peace. And the first thing we'll do is we'll start with the tapping portion of Trilogy, Part 1, and we will tap with one or two fingers at the inner eyebrow and then the outer eyebrow near the temple and then under the eye very gently so you don't bruise. Upper lip, lower lip, chin, your collarbone right by the midline, your sore spot, down a couple of inches and out towards your armpit a couple of inches, center of the chest. We're tapping six or seven or eight times, however long it takes me to say it, under the arm, below the nipple. Now on the hand beside the thumbnail, and then the index finger beside the nail, on the side of the finger, and the middle finger, same relative position. Now go around to the outside, the side away from your body, of your pinky finger right by the nail, and then the karate spot, that place where you would, if you hit a karate chop, you would use that part of your hand. Now we're going to do what's called 9G, and we're going to tap on the back of the hand between the index finger and the ring finger, right about an inch from the webbing of your fingers. And we're going to open our eyes, close, open, without moving your head, look down left, down right, up and over to down left, up and over to down right. We're going to count. We're going to hum first, hum. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and hum. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the beginning tapping part. Now we're going to do the healing code, just the basic healing code with a couple of additions. We're going to start with the both hands bridge, and I usually do the prayer here. I ask that we find and open and heal images and beliefs and cellular memories related to this issue that I'm working on this evening, this thing that's in the way of my peace. Both hands, Adam's apple, that those things would be found and opened and healed by infusing the truth, love and light and life of God into my heart and soul and cells. Both hands, jaws. And both hands, temples. Remember, while you're doing this, we're breathing with belly breath, letting our diaphragm move. Now, left hand palm at the base of your skull and let it actually touch your skin, and right palm on your forehead touching your skin. These next three are positions from Healing Codes 2 if you're not familiar with them. And switch positions, left hand palm to the forehead and right hand palm to the base of the skull. Now, both hands on the low belly, so put your left hand on your belly with your thumb on your belly button and let your hand just fall on your belly, and then put your right hand on top, your right thumb on top of your left thumbnail and let your hand fall so that your hands are kind of stacked up on your belly. Now we're going to do the third portion of the trilogy, which deals with the energy centers of the body. So move your hands just like they are. Move them down as low as you can go on your torso. And we're going to move them up kind of smoothly right up the center line of your body. And we're touching clothing probably, but we're touching the body. So we're asking that this river of energy be filled with the love and light and life of God, and that it flow freely and abundantly through all these energy centers. And we're moving right up the center line and up over the forehead and the crown and to the base of the skull, both hands, all the way. Okay, and hold there for a moment. We're going to do that three times. So go back to the base again, base of your torso, and we're going to move up again. And this time, kind of notice if there's some place that needs some attention. I kind of describe it like I feel like I'm pushing a bubble sometimes. And if I feel that, I stop where I am and let that feeling dissipate. I know that's not what I'm actually doing, but that's the way I describe what my body's when my body's telling me to stop. So I've stopped at the belly button, and now I'm stopping at the heart, and I'm going to stop at the throat. And proceed up and over to the base of the skull as you get there. And then the third time we'll just go smoothly from the base all the way up and over. So here we go. Heart, throat, and forehead and crown, and base of the skull. Okay. relax. Now take another deep breath in and out. See if you notice any change in your body or in the way you feel before we started. I feel more relaxed. I stressed myself there, noticing that I was not, you were not hearing me. And so that has been released also. So, okay. So again, those who I need to apologize are not here. Apologize to more, are not here. So, sorry about that. Not much I can do except say sorry. So let's go on. So we're here to answer your calls. So let's answer your questions. So in order for me to know you have a question, I need you to press star 2 on your keypad, and that will show me a little hand on my screen, and I will then know that you have a question, and it'll have a number on it, so I'll be able to know who is first and second and so on. So we do want to answer your questions. That is what we're here for, to try to get you past any place where you're hesitating, where you're not sure of what's going on. I don't know about sure of what's going on. I'm not sure any of us are. But at least feel confident enough that you can proceed to use these tools, because they are so valuable and so powerful for our healing. So I appreciate you being here. Thank you. And please help me do the rest of this call by asking the questions you came to ask or sharing the things you came to share this evening. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Patricia.
Hi, Kay.
Oh,
you're welcome. Before we started the call, I've been working on sorting out old. Oh dear, the only word for it is an archive.
Uh-huh.
I've always been a collector since childhood, but I'm inundated with stuff, and I just want to feel clearer in my one room studio apartment. Because, well, I recently had something done, and it made it clear to me that it's just too hard to live this way. Every time you have something done in your apartment, you have to move all these boxes of paper. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm starting to clear it out, and I was just going through my sympathy cards from when my mother died 4 years ago. And I'm not reading them now. I'm taking pictures of them so I can read them at my leisure. On my iPhone, I'm taking pictures. That's the good thing with that camera on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And then there's also, well, it's hard.
Okay.
It's hard because, it's not only the sympathy cards, but there's decades worth of Christmas cards and from people that, well, we used to have in our lives, and I don't know how to put it. I have a lot of attachment to all this stuff, and I feel myself wanting to hang on to more than I wanted to. I mean, some of it I can get rid of, but some of it I was going to keep because if it's
I think taking those pictures is a really good idea.
Yes,
because that allows you to let go of the paper and the bulk of it. But still know that you get to them to see them if you want to.
Yeah, and I've done a ton of that, a ton. But then there's certain things I feel I have to keep. If let's say there's something like, for various reasons, if they're special, and I tell myself I'll have a medieval section of Christmas cards 1 year, just a whole corner of, because different themes that I'll bring out the old cards. And I hope I do that. And if I'll give myself a couple of years, once I retire, I'll have time to make collages and stuff. But then I came across something that was kind of half promised to me and my sister a few years ago from a cousin. It's a letter from that my father had written in high school. We never got it. They never got their act together to send it, and they were going to scan it and send it. Now this is like years ago, and I don't know if I should pester them for it because they're old people too now. And But I would love to have read that letter, but I don't want to put them on the spot and make them feel bad if they didn't save it or whatever. I have all these attachments, and I've always been this way. Like, I'm so attached to these things, and they have such great meaning, and other people I don't think do that. I mean, I think there must be a better way to approach things.
Let me just say that other people do that.
Oh.
you're not alone. We helped one of our couples from church move from their ranch where they had lived for 40 years plus.
Yeah.
And they just hated to go. They didn't want to go. They just needed to for health reasons and things.
Yeah.
She had boxes and boxes and boxes of cards.
Oh, like me.
Every card she'd ever gotten.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just really difficult for her. And she said it's not the card that's the problem. It's that helps me remember that person, and you know, it's the person and the relationship, and that's what's going on. It's that we give physical things
value that.
Well, physical things have the ability to bring remembrance to us, you know, seeing something or smelling something or touching something or whatever, or hearing something. It helps us to remember some, you know, it's a key to our memory. So we think if we don't have that thing, then we don't have the memory. That's not true. It's just that, you know, that's how we've thought about it all our lives. We don't consider any other way of doing it. So that's why I think your pictures of it are really great, because, you know, then you can say, well, I've got that. I can look at that and remember it any time I want to, and I don't have to have this box of paper here.
Or
two boxes or barrels or however much it is.
There were a lot.
It certainly can overwhelm you. I had another friend, my mother's best friend when I was growing up, was a bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. And boy, was she a bookkeeper. And she kept every receipt for everything she ever bought.
Oh, no. Wow.
Every piece of business paper, you know, about anything.
Oh.
And they ran, you know, they ran cattle, and they had farms and stuff. And she had to build onto her house to have room for all the paper. And then they had to.
No.
Then they built another building to have room for all the paper. It was just ridiculous, you know. She could not bring herself to, when she didn't need it any longer, to be done with it. It was important to her. And I don't know, you know, and she wasn't a goofy person. She was a school teacher. had a decent life and all that, you know. She wasn't some hoarder person you would consider that way, you know, that just kept everything and couldn't make decent decisions, but those things were important to her for whatever reason, and she just let it kind of overwhelm her. So it's good. I'm glad you're getting to this place where you're deciding to make this thing. How can we help you? Other than
I'm not sure how to code for this. I have such feelings about these things, like. I was so upset to realize that I could have had a letter of my father's if we had responded quickly at the time and shown more interest. But I don't know what was going on at the time. I think my mother was sick at the time, and we couldn't be, you know, the offer came in a Christmas card. It wasn't really an offer. Anyway, I have feelings that I'm missing on things I should have known, like aspects of my father that I should have known, because well, I have a lot of unfinished relationship with him. He passed away in 1987, and there was a lot of unfinished business there. So I still feel like, oh, my God, I missed another opportunity to know him and that kind of thing. And
I think there are a lot of things like that in our lives, you know, where we just, boy, if only I had said this at this time or gone there at that time, oh, I could have.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been different or better or at least more. So,
and the last few days, I've been, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just thinking one of the things we need to do is just forgive ourselves because we just can't do everything.
Yeah.
That we think later that we should have done.
Right, and I have been working on the first three categories. What does he call those? Not the core ones.
Inhibitors.
And the healing.
Inhibitors.
Okay. I have been working with the three inhibitors for several days now before going back to the cores because I'm going, I adore the healing codes more than any of the other things that Dr. Lloyd has come up with. And I just keep going back to them. And now I'm going forward and backwards to all the codes. But now the last several days, I've been just staying with the inhibitors, which I just feel I need to get to know really well. And I'm working on those. And they're really good. And the unforgiveness one is, I have a lot of work with that. Because every once in a while, not all the time, I'm better than I used to be, but every once in a while I will just get inundated with all these guilty feelings about, as you said, things we wish we had done better in the past. And these things will just come to haunt me, utterly haunt me. Things from childhood, things like when I wasn't that nice a friend to somebody or something.
Yeah.
And it's just so painful.
Yes.
And I was going to ask you how long it takes.
If you forgive me a moment, let me go to some scripture a little bit about this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Remember that our enemy is called the accuser.
Yeah.
And that's what he does, is accuse us all the time.
Yeah.
Guilt is one of his very favorite things to use against us. And if we're doing pretty well, he will bring up something like that, some childhood thing or something that we, there was no way we could have done it differently.
Well, I could have done it differently.
Even if we'd been wise enough, sometimes we just don't realize, what we're doing. And that's true of anybody who doesn't do it right. They don't realize what they're doing. So, but our accuser is the one who will use that tool on us every time. And so one of the things that I encourage is for you not to ever think that's God doing that. Always realize that you're being accused of something bad. If you're being made to feel guilty, that's not God doing that. Not the bad.
No, I don't attribute it to God. I never actually analyzed that it was from a being. It's just something that comes into my mind, all these guilty things.
Our accuser is really good at putting stuff in our whispering in our ear.
Yeah.
Bringing
it to my remembrance.
Yeah. And desires that we had that were not maybe along the right lines or whatever the deals are,
Yeah.
That, he can make us feel bad about. We all have our own.
So do you think the primary...
Go ahead.
Do you think the way to address it is keep going to that unforgiveness code? Do you think ultimately, it may take a while. And I am better than I used to be, but do you think that's the remedy?
I think you should use the unforgiveness code, but I don't think you should leave off the others. So if you
want to never leave
most of the time, then that's fine. But be sure to go through the others too.
Oh, absolutely. I would never ignore all the other codes. They're all good. They're so good. And my goal, my goal is to actually get them all by memory. I just want to have them in my mind so I don't have to rely on, looking at my iPhone or wherever I have them. I want to just know them all because this is a valuable tool. And a lot of them I do have in my memory, but my goal is to have them all in my memory.
Excellent.
So,
very good.
Yeah, that's
I'm glad to hear of this. I'm glad to hear of this change that's happening, and it's certainly an indication of healing and health.
Yeah, I don't think I could have done all this with the papers, the cards, and all even a couple of years ago. But I'm actually the fact that I'm doing any of it, even though it's hard, I think does show that I'm maybe getting a little less attached to the stuff and willing to let things go a bit. Thanks.
Willing to live live the now instead of the what was or what could have been or whatever.
Yeah, and I just don't want to be living in some museum that nobody ever wants to visit.
Yes, that is. We do get there, don't we, if we don't, if we're careful.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dear. I was looking at some of my little things, that I've got here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And today, and was thinking about them. I'm going to have children and grandchildren, great grandchildren, here the week before Christmas, and I'm so excited about it because all my grandchildren and great grandchildren will be together for the first time.
Wonderful!
That's happened. And
wonderful!
I'm really excited about it. And, having trouble keeping my mind on. I had to remind myself the other day that Thanksgiving is coming in between now and then. I really needed to.
Oh, do you have to throw that too?
Oh, it's not any big deal. It'll just be four or five of us for Thanksgiving, so that's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can give most of my attention to the other thing. But you know, as I was looking around my house, I was thinking, well, maybe I need to put that away and put.
Oh, really?
You know. Well, just stuff that, you know, piles up and gets on top of things that you need to find the top of the table.
That's, you know, something that's it. I don't want to have to live that way where if I'm planning on having a visit, everything needs to be rearranged and radically altered. I just want to be able to live much freer than that so I can informally have people in whenever I feel like it and just have what I need, use, and love.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
excellent.
That's how I live.
That's an excellent way to say that. Need, use, love. Excellent.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Because we don't always use everything we love all the time.
No.
You know, but we don't
need
to get rid of it just because we don't use it every minute either.
Right.
Okay. Excellent. Very good.
Thanks, Kay.
Boy, some people are coming back on the line. I'm so glad.
Oh, good.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your help.
Got a mutual line now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Okay.
Welcome to let me know. Okay. Those of you who have come on the line, I appreciate your coming. I messed around and had myself muted that first 6 minutes and was just talking away and realized when some of you dropped off that something was going wrong. So I appreciate some of you coming back. And we got some other new people that weren't on here a while ago, so whatever. If you have a comment or question or something that we can help us direct this call this evening to be helpful to you, please press *2 on your phone and help us to know how to help you. You had a reason for coming on the call, and we'd like to know what that reason is and be able to fulfill that need, whatever it is. So if you'll press *2 on your phone and let me know that you have a question, I would appreciate that. Okay, we do have a couple of questions that have been submitted to the feedback line. One of them is, how can I use your techniques to eliminate negative memories? And that's really kind of a lead-in to our new program that's called Memory Engineering. And it is available at DrAlexanderLloyd.com, and it also is out in book form now. The book came out in October. And so there is a whole book about how to use this A process. It's not the coding process from Healing Codes or Trilogy, but it is a process to deal with troublesome memories that hold a lot of negative for us. And it's an excellent process, and I recommend it highly, as Dr. Alex would say. I highly recommend that you learn about memory engineering. The book is called The Memory Code by Alex Lloyd. And you can get it at most of the book vendors that you would normally use. Excuse me. So that's good. Another thing you can use if you don't want to go that route and you're talking about using the codes is you can use that from the Love Code, you can use that heart screen meditation and bring up on your heart screen this negative memory. And then as you're coding, let the prayer in your coding be that memory be replaced with something positive, with the truth that you need to know from that experience. And then just watch as you do your coding, just watch the screen change and see what happens there. So that's a part of the process from the Love Code, which is another one of Dr. Alex's books. And it really is the foundational philosophical approach that the Healing Codes has come from, that we need to be living in truth and love each moment of the day. And that's our only goal, is to live this moment in truth and love. So the Love Code is about that, and will help you learn that, and it has in it this heart screen meditation process. It also has an energy healing process in it, but those of us who have Trilogy or Healing Codes, we would use them instead, because they really are more powerful than the one in that book. So that's what I would suggest there. I still don't see a hand up, but I would really appreciate one. We have one more question. It says, can people listening passively to the audio be helped even if they don't know the reason behind the program? Now, I don't know which program this person's talking about, so that kind of limits my answer. Some of the programs could certainly be helpful to us just listening to them. Some of them would just be, I mean, if we're just listening to directions about how to do something, I don't know how helpful that would be. We did learn and teach when we were beginning the Healing Codes that if you were unable, for whatever reason, if you didn't have use of your arms or it was painful or whatever, to use your arms to hold the Healing Code positions, that if you pictured yourself doing that, holding the positions as they were given, then it was valuable to you. So in that case, listening to the program and picturing it would be helpful. I don't know if just listening, just being in the room while it's going on is going to do a whole lot, but, you know, it's not going to hurt anything either. So I guess that's about all I can say about that. I really don't know which program we're talking about. So that's going to have to take care of that answer. Somebody else have something more you'd like to say about one of those questions or answers? It will be very helpful to all of us if we could hear from you. Okay. All right, I'm not seeing anything. So today, several, and part of what Patricia was talking about earlier, and today in several other ways, it's come to my attention that loss is a big part of life, and that the holidays and the times when we really feel like we want to be close to those we love and, you know, want to remember the good times from being close to those we love and all that, can emphasize to us that we no longer have those things, that we, you know, someone that we're close to is no longer here for whatever reason. They've passed on, or they're moved away, or they're just not in our lives anymore, or there's a barrier between us that causes us to not be able to be close to them any longer, whatever the deal is. And so there's a real danger slash opportunity during the holiday time for us to get a little down because we're nostalgic and because we wish things were better than they are. We wish we could, as Patricia was talking about with her father, she wishes she had not missed some opportunities there, and certainly we all have those kinds of feelings about someone or another in our lives. So I wonder if we could do another trilogy here and do it maybe a little slower. I would appreciate questions, but if you're not going to ask questions, then I'll go ahead and we'll just do a trilogy together on loss and the feelings we have around loss, and especially the feelings we have around loss during this coming time. Okay, we do have a question, so let's take that. Yes, thank you, from Ontario.
Hi, this is Lori calling.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. Since you brought up the topic of loss, I've been really struggling with the loss of my sister. It's not because she died, but she's still alive, but she doesn't want me in her life anymore. She was responsible for the death of my mother from elder abuse. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she doesn't want anything to do with anybody in the family. And so I really don't know. Like, I'm conflicted, too. I've been working on forgiveness, you know, forgiving her because she, you know, got my mom to change the will and sign over the deed and that kind of stuff. And then she pressured my mom to put her in a nursing home, and that's what my mom just didn't know how to handle her biggest fear and shut down and died. And so I have to forgive my sister for that. And I also just don't even know how to consider her in my life because she's not dead. I don't want to think of her as dead because that's not true. And I really don't know how to process this loss. Because we were best friends for over 40 years.
Oh, dear. I don't want to diminish what you're saying, but that's much like a divorce. I've been divorced once and I've been widowed twice.
Wow.
Since my divorce, I've been widowed twice. And the widowing is much easier than the divorce part.
Right, because there's
because you can be done. You know, and those were good relationships. It's not that I was glad for them to be gone at all.
No.
But the divorce one causes more upset in my life than the just complete loss of them. I mean, you know, as far as them being alive or being in a part of my world.
I figured out where she lived, and she lived quite like hundreds of miles. She moved hundreds of miles away without telling anybody. And I drove by her place, and she called the police. Called the police, and even though, like, I live hundreds of miles from there, they called me at my home and told me I was harassing her and to stop doing it. You know, like, that, it's just so strange.
Oh, my. Well, she has a real guilty conscience.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, I would, when I think of it, I think of it in terms of how would I pray for her. You know, and I don't know if that's how you would think of it or not. But
well, I do pray for her, but it's more kind of according to 2 Corinthians, the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, about praying for true repentance that brings about godly sorrow, you know, kind of thing. Because she's
okay.
Got to face this. She, you know, like...
Yeah, but...
You know, she's got to repent of this at some point.
Yes, but it's not your job to make that happen. And I don't, I'm not saying you're trying to make that happen. And it's okay for you to pray for her to do it. you know, for God to help her do it or continue. You know, there's a scripture that says that we can't come to the Father except that we're drawn,
right?
That word draw also means drag.
Right.
It's the same word as for drag. So sometimes I pray for people that they would be dragged. God, just drag them. Drag them until they give up and walk on their own.
She does profess that she's a Christian, and she, you know, in anger said, God is pleased with the way I care for my mother, and he envelops me, whatever that means. And that was, like, the last conversation I ever had with her, and my mom died months after that, like, within months. So I don't think God was pleased with it. I think she was just trying to convince herself of that, and it's hard to say, like, if she doesn't repent of this, like, what is the condition of her heart?
Well,
I know I don't, it's not
okay.
In my business, but it's so hard. She was my best friend for so long.
Yeah, and you've lost. So you've lost a lot in that whole transaction.
Yeah. It really complicates the grieving of my mom, too.
Yes, of course it does. But, and it's easier for me to say you have to separate them, but it's pretty hard to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I cared for my mother in her last years. She had Alzheimer's.
Right.
And I came, as a matter of fact, moved back here 16 and a half years ago to care for her. And my dad. And mom lasted, she died in 08, so she lasted 4.5 years after I got here.
Oh, wow.
And at a point, it got to where I could not take care of her. And so she did go to the nursing home, and she did better there.
Yeah.
And, she ate better, and she kind of interacted with the people better and, you know, various and sundry things. But the disease progressed and she did pass away there. But I feel like I did the best I could for as long as I could.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know, you know, what all the details are. But I do know that it's not going to help you to hold this, that you must allow forgiveness.
Yeah, I want that. I know that that's what has to happen, and I thought I had forgiven her. You know, in 2017, I really focused on that a lot, doing the healing code, and then I just found out, like, the family home was supposed to stay in the family, and she sold it to a gun club, and the people running the gun club have ruined the house. My brother just found this out. So now it's back again. Like, I just found out that they're considering tearing down the house because one of the renters had a dog and it destroyed the house. So that upsets me. You know, it was supposed to be kept in the family, and she didn't do that. She got my mom to change the deed over to her, and she sold it so that she could fund her move hundreds of miles away. And it's just,
I am so sorry. It hurts so much to lose those things. And that's, you know, a multiplication many times over of the things we were talking about with Patricia, that, you know, that things are tied to, I mean, you know, our memories are tied to them and our good feelings are tied to them.
Yeah, that was whom I grew up in, you know, that was my childhood home.
I live in my childhood home right now. And my grandparents lived here before my parents did.
Yeah, see, with my mom lived in that same location all of her life. And it was a farm. And except for one day when she lived in the nursing home for one day, and then they rushed her to the hospital and she died.
Well, I am sorry for your loss. I am so sorry for your loss. Let's put it all, if you don't mind, let's put all this in a prayer.
Okay.
And let's do the trilogy all together. And if the rest of you would would like to join us, we're just going to do this for Lori's loss and for the loss that the rest of us have, this has triggered in us too, as we're talking about it, because let's just do that. If that's okay with you, Lori, I really don't have a lot of sage advice for you. I bless you in your desire to allow it to go, because holding on to it only hurts you. And
can I just ask the one question again?
Sure.
How do I think of my sister? I don't know what to think. She's not dead. She's, you know, not. She doesn't want. She's exactly. clear. She doesn't want me in her life. I don't even know if I'd want her back right now, because I'm so conflicted. But I don't know what to think of her. Just in
the,
my
lost, a lost sheep.
Yeah.
Because it comes to my mind is this a lost sheep.
Okay.
Sheep.
Maybe that'll help me better have compassion for her.
I just ask for that. So
yeah.
What happened. So I don't know if it's helpful or not, but maybe.
A little bit.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate it. I'm going to mute you, and we'll start with Trilogy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so on this theme of loss and what it does to us and what we allow it, how it tears up our lives. We'd like to believe the truth. We'd like to have the truth in us about what things are important and what things, how we should believe and how we should feel about these things in our lives that are tied to memories that we don't want to give up, or we think we'll lose if we don't have the thing. And for the loss of relationship, this one Lori's mentioned, and others that people today have talked to me about, or my own, or those I love, those we all love. Okay, let's open the energy pathways by tapping the inner eyebrow and then the outer eyebrow near the temple and under the eye, very gently there. Upper lip, between the lower lip and chin. Collarbone. Sore spot. Center of the chest. Under the arm. Below the nipple. On the hand now, the thumb. Near the thumbnail. Index finger, middle finger, go around to the outside of the pinky, side away from your body, and then the karate spot inside of your hand. Now the 9G, eyes open, closed, open, look down left, down right, up and over to down left, back up and over to down right. Hum. And count, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and hum. Okay. And we ask now, as we start both hands bridge, we ask that images and beliefs and cellular memories related to this loss and its pain in our lives and its difficulty in our lives be found and opened and healed by infusing the truth and love and light and life of God into our hearts and souls and cells, both hands, Adam's apple. Now, it's the first time I have to breathe, but you've been breathing from your belly the whole time. Both hands, jaws. Allow positive memories to come in about those things that you've lost. Enjoy them anyway without them being here. Let a smile come on your face. Both hands, temples. Now, left hand palm at the base of the skull, right hand palm on your forehead, touching this time. And switch left hand palm on the forehead, right hand palm at the base of the skull. Now, both hands on your belly, thumbs on your belly button. Okay, now slide both hands down to the base of your torso, and we're going to move up and ask that this river of energy be supplied by God with His love and light and life, and that it would flow freely and abundantly through the energy centers, be distributed to our heart and soul and self for healing. Over the top of the head to the base of the skull. And then all that good stuff, let's go back to the base again, all that good stuff, love and light and life of God will flow out of us toward others. On up and up and up. And all that loss will someday be of no import whatsoever. All the important things will be there. And all the unimportant will have gone away. Third time from the base of the torso. Here we go. Up, up, up. And over the top. Okay, relax. Thank you so much. Thank you to those who spoke. Thank you to those who listened. Pray that your hearts are helped. Is there any other comment or question before we go? Don't leave wishing you had said something. Press star 2 to let me know. Going to check, make sure that people on the web haven't suggested something. No. Okay, I'm going to open the line. You can all say good night. Good night, everyone. Thank you for being here.
Good night. Thank you so much.
I apologize for the rocky start. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night, Kay. Good night, Lori. Good night, everybody. And thanks.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference.